Is Jesus Christ in control of your life? Do you truly live as though He is Lord? Today on Chapter and Verse, we turn to the book of John and listen to Mike McIntosh. Let's begin with this.
Now, some of you, if not most of you in this audience, know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He has saved your soul. But you do not have a clue of the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus doesn't control your checkbook. He doesn't control your eating habits. He doesn't control your exercise. And He doesn't control who you hang out with. He doesn't control your investments or your business or your school. Or you control all your life, but He is your Savior. You will make it to heaven. But there comes a point when you need to see Him as Lord. And when you do, it is that you are the servant. And Jesus said, the servant is never greater than the master. Otherwise, the servant's will. And what did He say to the disciples? The disciples in verse 33 see Jesus. He's as starved as they are. Hey, has anybody given Him something to eat? And Jesus says, my meat, the food that I eat, is special. It's to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Three simple principles to living life in a tremendous way.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Today, Mike continues his verse-by-verse study of John's Gospel. The Bible tells us that one day, many will say, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. How frightening is that? To go through your whole life thinking that you're pleasing God, only to find out when it's too late that He doesn't know you. Don't let that happen. Make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let God Use You is the title of today's teaching on Chapter and Verse. Our text is John chapter 4. Now, let's join Mike for our message.
Would you please turn in your Bible to the Gospel of St. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'd like you to look at verse 34. Heavenly Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, we'd like to ask that Your Holy Spirit would speak to us, just like You did to the Christian community in the book of Acts in the very first century as they gathered in an upper room to pray to You and to break bread. We pray that Your Holy Spirit's love and power would energize us and give us vision for tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would speak to us through these verses in this story that would illuminate our minds to see something that's very pertinent to us as an individual. Just touch the audience right now, Lord. They've come to see You and to worship You. And we pray that Your Spirit will meet them. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 34. This background is this part two of the woman at the well. Jesus has gone to a community called Sychar in Samaria. And Jacob's well was there. And he met this woman that he was speaking to, and the disciples passed her on the little trail going out from the village and didn't talk to her, apparently. And Jesus told her about eternal life, and she went back into town and basically evangelized the town, and they came out to the well to meet Jesus. And this is the encounter with the people and with His disciples. He's trying to teach them about evangelism, but He's also ministering to the people. And you'll notice that the people ask Him if He'd stay around for 2 days. And for some time, and He stayed 2 extra days, which is very important because we can ask Jesus to stick with us, and He'll stick with us our whole lives. He's just not going to run away. But if you have a great need, let the Lord bless you and encourage you that He will stick with you till this situation is worked out. Verse 34, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish this work. Would you underline the terms to do and to finish? Two active things. Say not you that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white, and they are ready to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman, which she testified, he told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we have heard him ourselves, and you may want to underline this, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is one of those few times in the Bible that you can point out to somebody where Jesus, other than himself being the Savior, or the apostle saying he's the Savior, this is a whole village that turned to Jesus Christ and received him as a Savior. He is the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days, he departed there, and he went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and he begged him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or else my child will die. So Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And then he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. And then inquired he of them the hour when he began to heal. And they said unto him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, your son lives, and himself believes, and his whole household. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So his first miracle being that of turning the water to wine, the second one of this young man being healed. And we've heard over and over our entire lives growing up that timing is everything. You remember there was a man named Lazarus who was dead and buried in a tomb for 4 days, 4 nights, and they complained that Jesus waited, and he came to the tomb and he said, roll the stone away, and Lazarus come forth, and he was raised from the dead. That miracle was so powerful that it says later in the New Testament that the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Israel, wanted to assassinate this man Lazarus just because of his testimony, because he was such a dynamic living example of eternal life. So what about this boy that's dying? Obviously, part of his sickness and illness that was near death was a fever. And this fever went away in the seventh hour. And Jesus is waiting for timing. Had he showed up earlier, would the boy have suffered less? We don't know, but we know the timing was correct because his paths crossed with the Father, and the Father was able to tell the problem, and Jesus was able to help it. But what about the timing of the 2 days that he stayed with this village, where all the village came out to hear him, and then on their own, without the testimony of somebody else, said, just hearing his word, we know that he is the Savior of the world, that this is the Christ that everybody's been talking about. What about that timing? But what about the timing of your life, of you being right here, right now, that God has prepared something for you, that you would be blessed? You know, when God called me to serve him, I was a young adult. I was 26 years old, and I had no idea what it meant to serve him, but I did say, I will serve you, Lord. I wanted to serve him. Having no idea, like many of you, you'd be where you are today, God had timing for all of our lives. Certain lessons that you have to learn at a certain time in your life to be able to be where you'll be tomorrow, for instance. Maybe there's somebody you're going to meet in the parking lot. Maybe there's somebody you're going to talk with sitting next to you right after communion. And something's going to be said that you're going to have a piece of the puzzle put together. And maybe there's something you're trying to understand in your own life. And one thing could be said 500 different times leading up to today, but you never got it. But you compile all the experiences that God has given you and interactions with other people, that the one thing that somebody next to you could say would click, and it all comes to truth to you. You wouldn't imagine either how rich and how deep life would be with Jesus unless you walked with him. All I knew in my life, like many of you, is that I just wanted to serve him. I didn't want to serve him out of obligation, because I see no obligation in serving. I see joy in serving the Lord. And in serving the Lord, I see serving people. So we want to show you some things in the verses, and we want to show you on the screens some things of your church. Nothing that I have done, because there's nothing in me that has the ability or the capabilities to do what is going on. Only God has done them. But when you stop and think that if you would take the attitude, let God use you, let him use me, you say to him today, of what God could do for you and through you, can be overwhelming. So I knew that God had unconditional love. That means no conditions. I had a mother say to me in the last service that somebody was stealing from her credit card. And so she called the credit union and said, hey, my card, somebody's charging stuff. And then after she called them, she found out it was one of her oldest kids had been using. She said, so I want to take her down there and make her confess to the people, and she may get in trouble. I said, or? She said, or what? I said, or you could call the credit card company and say, it was your mistake, you figured out what the problem is, and you're going to take care of it, and your daughter wouldn't get a police record or go to jail. I said, oh, I could, couldn't I? Okay, then what I'm going to do is ask her, or tell her, she has to pay back all the money, plus she has to go to church every Sunday with me and every Wednesday with me in a home fellowship for 4 weeks in a row. And I said, that's unconditional? That's conditions of your love. And she said, you're absolutely right. Now here's what's hard to grasp for you and me, because we're humans. What do you mean unconditional love? You've all heard that term before, unconditional love. But stop for a moment. I'm not just throwing out a theological term. Unconditional means there are no conditions. Well, you mean if I go to church every week? No, that's a condition. Well, if I donate to Christian causes? No, that's a condition. Well, if I spend more time reading my Bible, then God will love me more? No, that's a condition. You mean if I tell more people about Jesus, then God will give me more? No, that's a condition. Unconditional love means, as you sit here, or you watch on the internet, or listening on the radio, that God loves you without you doing anything, any conditions. There are no conditions attached. He just loves you. We respond like the Pavlovian theory that you ring a bell and the psychologist was able to find out that they trained the dog to salivate and the salivation was able to prepare his digestive system so that he could eat. They got the dog to realize every time the bell rang that he'd get food, that the dog would start to salivate. So then they quit feeding the dog and they just ring the bell and the organisms in the body would get ready to eat in Pavlovian theory. That the devil can ring bells, and you start to salivate for the things of the world. We have learned that if you do this, then I will respond in this way. You have learned that if I do this, you'll respond in that way. You'll reward me if I'm a good little boy or a good little girl, but if I'm not, you'll spank me. So you've been conditioned yourselves. God has no conditions. You don't do anything except let him love you. That's very difficult to understand for human beings. He loves you unconditionally. Yeah, but I went out and I smoked a cigar last night. Oh, so God's going to stop loving you. Hey, I went to Vegas and I blew $1,500. I went to the horse races. I had a bottle of wine. You know, and you have all these things that are conditions on your part that you think can cause God to stop loving you. God's love is unconditional. Now, I'd like you to respond with me. What is God's love? Unconditional. He's going to love you this afternoon. He's going to love you this evening. He's going to love you the first thing you wake up. Here's the scary thing. He's loving you when you're snoring last night. He's loving you while you're asleep. Unconditional love. If you walk away with nothing else, just always remember when you're depressed or you're down or you're sad or you're questioning or you're trying to prove something, unconditional love. God loves me. This has nothing to do with God not loving me or loving me more or loving me less. Unconditional love. You and I have always had conditional love with people. Some reward others with sex. Some reward with toys. Some reward with you name it. They just get something because they've responded to the giving or the love of the other person. God's love is unconditional. So, since there's unconditional love, and personally as a man, I found out it was so great, my desire in my early days was to evangelize. And evangelize simply means tell other people about this unconditional love. I had never known unconditional love. I always saw strings attached. I always saw that if I didn't perform in certain areas, the teacher wouldn't respond in a smile, the foster parents wouldn't do something, my mother wouldn't do something, or a friend wouldn't do something. So I wanted to tell everybody about unconditional love. To pay back God for saving me, that wasn't my motivation. Oh, I'll do good things because God saved my soul. That isn't the motivation. For what can a man give to God? The one that created everything, the hair on your head, the molecules that make up the hair, the pituitary gland, your thyroid gland, all the things that are functioning right now, your lungs, your brain cells, the synapse, the electric charges that are bolting through your heart and making everything push that blood uphill. 23 seconds, it's at the top of your brain and it's going down to the bottom of your feet and it's going to push it back up and circulate through everything. The one who created all of that, the one who made the beautiful sunsets that makes this surf, every little iota of anything, that one loves you unconditionally and is so pleased with you, wants you to spend eternity with him, and wants to unleash more creation than you could ever imagine and take you out of this body so you'll appreciate the next body that will never have a wrinkle on it or an ache or a pain. It'll never cry. It'll never see sickness, sadness, or death. He's only letting you enjoy this as much as you can so you'll really enjoy the best is yet to come. He's going to turn the water into wine. He's going to take this old molecular structure that dies and decays and turns back into dust, and he's going to give you something totally new. So when Jesus walks into this town, I can identify this woman as forgiven unconditionally and goes immediately and tells other people that you need to meet this man. Not because it's payback, but to tell the world about eternal life, to tell people about salvation, tell people about forgiveness and a new birth has been constantly for me and is constantly now in my life and will constantly be a joy through every breath and every waking moment of my life that there's somebody that I could express this unconditional love to and this wonderful God that is a person. And he's not some idol or some statue. And he's not some rules and regulations. He's my Father. And he wants me to enjoy this thing called life, knowing that I'm in a hostile environment. As a white person, as an American, with my accent, if I were to walk into some of the roughest places of Afghanistan right now, I would stand out. Even if you put a turban on me and a fake beard, they would look in my blue eyes and they'd say, "You're not one of us." "No, I'm not, but I just wanted to talk to you for a minute." "Okay." It's over with. No. I'm in a hostile environment. You're in a hostile environment. It's called planet Earth. It's ruled by a gruesome, wicked, evil angel that rebelled against God and took a third of God's servants away from heaven and brought them down to this planet and set up a whole system. Nations, media, education, medicine, science, history, everything has been set up by this dude. And it's all lies. And it's all designed to be smoke and mirrors to make you think this is living. And you will die someday, but before you die, you get a retirement. Yeah, how many people are going to get a retirement in this generation? Not very many. And so it's all a deception. So his son comes down with a big plus sign and dies on a cross for you and says, "God loves you. I am taking all the sin that is in your account in heaven on the books and placing it upon myself. I'm taking the judgment and the wrath of God Almighty, the creator of everything, and placing it on myself so that you will be free to live for eternity with my Father." And when you are born again, you don't get new brain cells, but you get a spirit that comes alive. And Jesus now begins showing you that he's not just the Savior of the world like the people in this town said. He is now the Lord of your life. Now some of you, if not most of you in this audience, know Jesus Christ as your Savior. He has saved your soul. But you do not have a clue of the lordship of Jesus. Jesus doesn't control your checkbook. He doesn't control your eating habits. He doesn't control your exercise. And he doesn't control who you hang out with. He doesn't control your investments or your business or your school. Or you control all your life, but he is your Savior. You will make it to heaven. But there comes a point when you need to see him as Lord. And when you do, it is that you are the servant. And Jesus said, the servant is never greater than the master. Otherwise, the servants will. And what did he say to the disciples? The disciples in verse 33 see Jesus. He's as starved as they are. "Hey, has anybody given him something to eat?" And Jesus says, "My meat, the food that I eat is special. It's to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Three simple principles to living life in a tremendous way. And then you go from Him being your Lord to Him being the King. And in a flash, you will see a kingdom, Jesus said, is at hand. Just this from your shoulder to your hand. You think you're going to go out into outer space to see Him. No, He's right here around us. This is a dimension that we're living in. But when your spirit gets strong enough, you can step into that other dimension and back and forth. And the older you get from His Word, and the stronger you get from His Word, and the more time you communicate with that other kingdom, you can come and go into that other dimension. And you begin to realize that everything in this dimension dies. There is nothing that goes on in this dimension. Everything dies. And it dies, and you know it. But you still keep propping it up. But the stronger you get inside, and you've died yourself, and He's now the Lord, He's the Savior, but now He's telling you, this is the way to go in it. And you submit to that and say, boy, this isn't very good. You know, the reason you have trials and temptations and pain and setbacks and failures, and you want to blame the other people that caused the problem. No, the people aren't the problem. We're the problem. God only allows that to come into this realm in our life because He trusts us that we're going to be able to make it through it and build character. When He's the Lord and we begin to see glimpses of the kingdom because we know His Word, now we realize, I am the vessel to bring His kingdom from that dimension into this physical dimension of San Diego or Denver or Detroit or Biloxi, Mississippi or Fort Lauderdale. You're just a vessel. And that's why Paul the Apostle said, I am dead in Christ. There's no good thing that dwells in me. And had you been told that God had something for you as spectacular as what you have, you wouldn't have believed it when you were a young child. You know, unconditional love. If I were to say to you, my doctor is here, so I know he wouldn't want me to say this because he needs more patience. He needs to see you. But if I were to say, hey, the doc and I have described this, put together this thing in a lab, and it's a little vial, and if you'll drink this vial, all your aches and pains and wrinkles will go away, and you'll look like you're 22 years old. Now, those of you that are 17 don't want to look like 22 years old, but if you're 62 or 42, you say, I'll drink that. Yes. And you know what? You drink that. Whoa, my muscles, my strength. I can run so fast. I can swim more. This is great. You would tell everybody about it, wouldn't you? You'd go out and say, there's this new miracle deal, and you'd start selling it. You'd be like an Amway person in a way, right? You'd be out there just, hey, this is it. If I said, hey, we got an injection, I don't like needles. Oh, but the doc and I, we've worked this out. If we inject you one time in your left bicep, something happens to your molecular structure that you'll be worth $50 million in 6 months. You'll go out and you have the brain cells to put together bigger things than Donald Trump. You'll be worth a minimum of $50 million. You guys would pay anything I'd ask you for that. You just, yes, sir, Pastor Mike, I'll do it. I'll even give you $50 if you'll give me that. But why is it that we'll run after everything that could cure this or flatten our abs or, you know, build these muscles or do our Pilates or whatever we're going to do? But when it comes to telling people that we've got eternal life, we're never going to die. There is a God who will save your soul from death. There is one that will love you unconditionally and give you forgiveness for everything you've said, thought, or done. Why is it that that's, preach it, Pastor. Yeah, do it, Pastor. Yeah, cool. Oh, I like that one. Oh, okay, right. You know, why is it that some people say, it's all about the Lord, I just want the Lord. Maybe it's this. Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, much is loved. You know, when you're a little prideful and arrogant, you don't think that you needed to be saved from much. Oh, you're just a little stuffed shirt. But boy, when you've been down and out and you felt the dagger of pain in your soul and you've seen dark nights and you haven't slept and you've seen poverty or you've just seen it all, and the love comes unconditionally and the forgiveness comes and you realize, I can't believe it that He has forgiven me. You just are so grateful for the love that you have to tell everybody.
That's Mike McIntosh closing our studies for today. We'll find more amazing information and exciting promises that await us when we let God use you. You're invited to join us right here next time. Perhaps you know someone who's struggling with their walk and needs further insight to this biblical truth. Then perhaps a copy of today's lesson would be helpful. With technology bringing us so many great blessings, tablets and cell phones provide opportunities to not only listen to your favorite music on the go, you can also listen to Bible studies from these devices. You can log on to our website at mikemackintosh.com and click on the teaching link, and then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Here you can download the message free of charge, or go to the podcast section to get MP3s of this daily radio program sent to your device. Again, log on to mikemackintosh.com for all the details. Make plans to join us next time when we'll continue our series through the Gospel of John and our message exhorting us to let God use you. That's coming up tomorrow on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.